Jesus took aside the 12 and said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise." "See," our Lord says. "See." How can these 12 see? What Jesus describes for them is unbelievable. This man, Jesus, whom the crowds receive, who attracts to himself both or all the sick and the lame, the leprous and the sinner, this one who speaks with authority, this man will be crucified, dead, buried, and will rise again on the third day. "See," he says. But how is it that they can believe? Indeed, they did not. They understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. But why not? "See," our Lord says. "See, everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished." Jesus is reminding them. The prophets had already told them what he would be doing. But they did not grasp Jesus, nor did they grasp the prophets. Everything that was written by Moses, David, and the prophets was written to testify to Jesus' work of saving you from your sins. So in the gradual today from the psalmist, we sang, "You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. You with your arm redeemed your people." What does the psalmist mean? When we said, "You are the God who works wonders," we might be tempted to think of our God as some kind of miracle worker. Or perhaps by the expression, "You have made known your might among the peoples," to think of our Lord as a mighty warrior who will defeat our mortal enemies. But the last expression, the psalmist confessed that our God redeems his people with his arm. Who is God the Father's arm, his right-hand man, but his Son Jesus Christ, who sits at God's right hand? So then, if it is Jesus who redeems his people, then how is it that Jesus works wonders? How is it that he makes God's might known? How is it that he redeemed his people? Today in the gospel, Jesus gives to us the answer key, the secret decoder ring, to understanding the psalm, indeed all the scriptures. Understanding our Lord and grasping our reality as Christians requires the saying to be revealed to us. And so it has. He has shown to us by definitive action in cross, grave, and Easter morning what the scriptures mean. And thus he opened our eyes to understand how Jesus and his death and resurrection is the key to understanding all of God's word, the scriptures. And thus, by hearing, we believe. But our faith is not blind. It is knowledge and trust grounded in Jesus. It's seeing the truth through the eyewitnesses that the fulfillment of the prophets, indeed of the Psalms, of all the scriptures, is in the promises of God in Jesus. Then, as Jesus drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. Immediately after, Christ our Lord testified to the spiritual blindness of the 12, how they did not understand what he said, St. Luke records that Jesus opens the eyes of a blind man. This is no coincidence. Three times Jesus has told his disciples that he is going up to Jerusalem and there he will die. Just 9 chapters previous to today's gospel, he said, "Let these words sink into your ears. The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men." And then again, he prophesied of his death and resurrection, and then today's gospel a third time. But each time, the 12 did not understand what he was saying. They lack the perspective they need, for only after his resurrection will they see how he fulfilled the prophecy, and see in his death and resurrection its goodness, and believe its purpose for them. But for now, they're still blinded by their false expectations and confused hopes. Blind. It's been said that the problem with the Holy Gospel is not that it is too complicated, but rather that it is too simple. Christ Jesus gave his life to redeem you. He shed his blood for your forgiveness. He rose again, so you too will have the resurrection. That's it. But that can't be all of it. There must be something more. Maybe something to do, or a complicated set of dogma to memorize, or maybe steps to follow to stay a Christian, or hoops to jump through. But any time we take that pure gospel of Christ and add something more, it clouds our salvation vision, confuses the clarity of the gospel. That was the disciples' problem, those 12. They had added to the promise given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob other things, other ways of salvation, a God who would save this earth in addition to heaven. But that wasn't the case with the blind beggar. When he heard the crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And he did it persistently, two times. It is true, he may have been blind physically, but unlike the 12, spiritually his eyes were wide open. At the name of Jesus, he confessed him to be the Son of David and pleaded for his mercy. Now maybe he didn't know quite what mercy Jesus would have for him, but he knew it would be good. And so Jesus stopped, asked him to be brought to him, and then asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." Jesus is connecting for you eyes and faith. Seeing and believing go together. But did you notice the order of things? Seeing did not give the man faith, but rather hearing. Only then was his sight restored. First he heard, "Who's this going by?" "Jesus of Nazareth." Then he believed, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And then the Lord granted him sight. So it is also for us. First we hear the word of God, the testimony of Moses, the prophets, the evangelists. Then we believe their testimony. And now, having faith, we can see Jesus for who he truly is. We say of those who act only in the moment or don't consider the future, we say that they lack vision or they're nearsighted. They need perspective. They can't see the big picture. They have tunnel vision. And also for those who are oblivious to the moment, we say they lacked the ability to see what is staring them in the face. They can't see the writing on the wall. They're blind to reality. Seeing is important for both the present and for the future reality. That's why Jesus opens your eyes. For seeing is also believing, it is said. And seeing is to know. When we say, "I see," we mean, "I know." St. Thomas begged to see the Lord's wounds and to touch them. "If I put my hand in his side, my finger into his wounds of his hands, then I'll believe." And it's true. Believing is a physical thing. If Christ had not been raised from the dead in his body, then our believing, our faith, is in vain. To believe that Jesus has forgiven your sins requires Jesus to have died in his body, and for that death to be the acceptable sacrifice for your sin. But if Christ in his body still lays in the grave, then your sins are still yours. To believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting requires your hearing, requires the eyewitnesses to speak to you, those who beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. So seeing is believing. But Jesus also says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. We see not through eyes of our own, but we see him through the eyes of the apostles. The women on Easter morning at the tomb, Philip and the eunuch, and all the witnesses of his resurrection, their eyes are your eyes. Thus you can say with all confidence, I believe that Jesus Christ suffered, was crucified, and was buried. I believe he rose on the third day. I believe he rose into heaven. I believe, not blindly, but because they saw. And it's the truth. They saw and they testified. John the Evangelist says it this way, he who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. We have not seen with our own eyes, but we do see with their eyes and believe. Therefore, faith is not blind. It sees fully the reality of Jesus, of our sin, of our salvation. It has been revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. Your eyes are opened to see Jesus, having heard and listened to the testimony of the eyewitnesses. This is quite unlike the claim of all the religions of the world, of their gods or God, for they have no reason to believe. They've actually seen nothing. The world is full of such blind faiths. Maybe you have at times come to believe baseless lies. I believe, but you have no evidence. Perhaps you've said things like, that's just what I believe. And yet, how do you know? Or, that's just between me and God. Whether or not God has actually said it in his word. That is to say, if your faith lacks evidence, then it is empty and pointless. If your faith has not been revealed to you by God in his word, his holy prophets, evangelists, and apostles, delivered to you by his holy Christian church, then your faith is blind. You have no idea whether it's true or not. So also, the evidence for your faith cannot be something from inside of you, the inner workings of your mind or your heart. Faith is not boldness based on how you feel or what you think or perhaps who you think you are. Faith begins with how God feels about you, what he thinks of you, what he calls you, things that you can only know from what he said in his word. Thus, the actor is God and the actions are his. He gives you faith. It comes from outside, and only then can you see the reality. So when it is heard, and thus you see, then it can be believed. Only then does faith result in feelings or thoughts or an identity. Things that do come from faith, but from faith, not for faith. Things all grounded in Jesus. Like the seeing again man in today's gospel, what happens after you hear, then believe, and see God for who he is? But to follow Jesus, to glorify God. To believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection in the body, and the life everlasting begins when you hear what the eyewitnesses speak to you. And then, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you believe this word to be true for you. And then, believing, You see Jesus, and you follow him, and receive from him the gifts he gives. Thus your eyes are open now, as Christians, open to behold his glory, to see him face to face, the glory of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. It begins first by hearing, then by believing, and then you see. And believing, you see, and by seeing, you are saved. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.